You're listening to the HR Happy Hour Show with hosts Steve Bowes and Trish McFarlane. Since 2009, the HR Happy Hour Show has been bringing you thought leaders, workplace and technology experts, academics, and more to take on the most important and interesting topics impacting work, human resources, technology, and the workplace. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net. Welcome to the HR Happy Hour Show. My name is Steve Bowes. It is great to be with you today, recording this on a Friday, getting ready for the weekend. I'm excited about it for sure. Just got through Halloween. I hope everyone had a great time trick-or-treating. I tell you what, in Western New York, weather was a little rough. Turnout was a little low. A lot of extra candy on my hands I'm working through this week, but hopefully you had a great holiday and a great week as well. A couple quick announcements from me before we welcome our guest. We have a super guest and a super topic today. Thanks to our show sponsor, Virgin Pulse. Since 1984, www.virginpulse.com. Check them out for all things employee well-being, wellness, and more. Just thanks so much to them. Last thanks to everyone who's at the HR Tech Conference. And of course, I'm going to be talking about this for the rest of this year. And that is get your requests and speaking proposals into me and to the conference by December 20th. You can learn more about that process at www.hrtechconference.com. Keep an eye on the HR Happy Hour Podcast Network shows. I know I've been mentioning this the last few shows. New shows coming. I got a new show from Ben Eubanks today, George LaRocque. New stuff coming and more exciting stuff happening as well. We do have our listener survey, which is live. The link to that listener survey will be in the show notes. And so please take a moment, not even 3 minutes, and let us know what you think about the show, what you'd like to hear, what you'd like to see, what you'd like more of, less of. And that's it. And if you're interested in being on the show or have an idea for a topic or a guest or something you think we should cover, you can tweet at us at HR Happy Hour on Twitter. Send me an email, steve@h3hr.com. And that's it. Oh, I want to say hi to Trish. She couldn't be with us today, but we say hi to her and we will talk to her and see her soon. That's it. Oh, man. The announcements are getting longer and longer, or I'm getting my capacity to read them is getting shorter and shorter. So I'm going to take a quick breath and introduce our guest today. We have a fantastic guest, Mr. Shord Gehring, the Vice President of Talent Acquisition, Global Vice President of Talent Acquisition for Johnson & Johnson. Shord oversees all the company's global recruiting activities, which is about 25,000 hires annually. Shord is responsible for developing global talent acquisition strategy and devising innovative and progressive sourcing, selection, and assessment processes to ensure J&J continues to attract and retain a globally diverse pipeline of talent. His primary focus and passion is in the development of the next generation of recruiting platforms and channels, which we're going to talk a lot about today, employing the rapid prototyping of ideas that disrupt conventional recruiting strategies. He's a widely recognized thought leader in the talent acquisition space and has several patents pending with the United States Patent Office for cutting-edge talent acquisition technologies. Shord, welcome to the HR Happy Hour Show. How are you?
I am great, Steve. Great to be with you today.
It's great to have you. So we want to talk some about the new initiatives that are happening at J&J in the recruiting space, which are fascinating. But before we get into specifically the new program and some of the new things you guys have rolled out at J&J, maybe we could take a step back a little bit and talk a little bit about the context that you're operating in at J&J. Huge company, global company. Maybe just give us a little bit of flavor and color for the company's kind of the breadth and the scope of your talent acquisition and recruiting kind of challenges.
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. You know, Johnson & Johnson obviously has been around for a long time. You know, our primary businesses, Steve, are in the pharmaceuticals, medical devices, and then our consumer segments in our business. You know, we have the profound privilege to serve roughly 1 billion people a day that our products and services touch, anything from our pharmaceutical drugs in our pharmaceutical business to, you know, the consumer products you're probably a little bit more familiar with, like Listerine and Band-Aid. And
that's right. I've probably used 3 or 4 J&J products today already, I'll bet, in my house. Yes.
We like that.
Yeah.
And so you think about that, right? So we talk a lot, like internally, about, especially in our pharmaceuticals division, around the ability for us to address more patients and help more patients around the world in the areas of oncology, hematology, for example. And so you can imagine that the talent agenda for the company is a really, really important one. The talent that we're able to attract to J&J directly impacts the healthcare of again billions of people around the world, and so our ability to attract talent to the company is incredibly important for our business leaders, obviously for our HR leadership team, and so we have a tremendous focus on recruiting, on innovative recruiting, on being relevant in the marketplace. And I have the privilege to lead that part of the organization. So, like you said in your introduction, we recruit roughly 25,000 25,000 positions around the world every year. We have roughly 1 million candidates in our pipeline a year, and we have fun doing it.
Good. I mean, that's important that you do manage to have some fun doing it, because it's quite the challenge. And you know, you mentioned, Shored, the sort of the breadth of products and services that are being provided at Johnson & Johnson around the world. I mean, so I'd imagine across these million candidates or so and these 25,000 positions, there's a huge kind of breadth variance of the kinds of roles that you're hiring for and the kinds of people you're looking for. Maybe could you comment a little bit about just the kind of the wide variety of types of things and people you're looking at and roles you're looking to fill each year?
Absolutely, and you're spot on. It's extremely diverse in terms of the different jobs that we recruit for every day. It could be a scientist in our oncology practice. It could be for a digital marketer in our consumer business. We're always looking for sales reps across our business lines.
Sure.
So there is a wide variety of different roles we recruit for, against all seniority types. So we do quite a bit of campus recruiting, especially in the U.S. We do quite a bit of very senior executive hiring as well at the top of the house. So never a dull moment. But almost every single role at J&J can be directly connected to improving the healthcare for a lot of people around the world. So it's pretty impactful that way.
Yeah, definitely, and kind of makes it makes you connect to the that importance of filling those roles as well. You and your team, right? Like, it's like we're directly impacting health, welfare, well-being of people's lives, and I think that's a huge motivator, I'd imagine, too, for your folks as well as for the folks who you're recruiting into J&J.
Well, it certainly is. I'll never forget the first week I joined the company roughly 2.5 years ago, and I was making my rounds and meeting with a ton of recruiters, and I vividly remember a conversation in my first week of asking a recruiter in my team, what made you join the company? And the story that she shared with me was, one of her family members had recently passed away from XYZ disease.
Okay.
And her motivation was to, in her role as a recruiter for the company, to identify the next scientist who was going to find a cure for that particular disease.
Wow.
And, if you show up to work, with that passion and that drive behind you, and her story isn't unique. I hear this kind of all the time. And if you're looking for purpose beyond your paycheck, it's a great company to be a part of. And especially in the recruiting organization, where we just have the unique opportunity and privilege, quite frankly, to be able to identify these leading scientists, but also, all kinds of different roles that have a direct impact to the health of humanity, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty pretty position to be in.
Yeah, it definitely. I mean, as I read and learned more. I mean, of course, I'd heard of J&J and a bit, but like as I read and learned more in preparation for this interview today, I was like, wow, these guys. I was even kind of surprised at some of the things J&J is into and what they're doing and around research and in pharmaceuticals. And so it's quite impressive. Quite a wide variety of areas you guys are in, huge company. So that sort of takes us, Shored, to what kind of we want to talk some more about today as well, is like other large companies, and quite frankly, probably like a lot of midsize and smaller companies as well, the recruiting challenge is probably pretty immense in terms of process, right? And one of the things we've heard so much in the last 5 or 6 years has probably been an increased focus on the experience of candidates throughout the process, as well as hiring managers and the recruiting team as well, but more definitely around improving the processes and the systems and the tools for candidates. I'd love maybe for you, you said you came to J&J a couple of years ago, 2.5 years ago. I'd love maybe to talk a little bit about what the situation was at J&J in terms of process and experience, and why did you guys decide you needed to make some improvements?
Yeah, thanks for that question. I think that, you know, where J&J was, you know, 2.5 years ago when I joined the company, it's probably a very similar situation that many other organizations find themselves in. And I don't know about you, Steve, but I have felt that recruiting processes have lost the sense of humanity, mm-hmm. and are just so transactional. They're so impersonal. They feel so cold. And actually, one of the reasons for me to join J&J was that my professional purpose really in the next few years was to completely reimagine recruiting from the ground up for a large Fortune 50 player. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I defined that as my professional purpose for a few years was I believe that recruiting is fundamentally broken. And if you look at all of the industries kind of around us, they've gone through massive disruptions and massive transformations in the past few years, 10, 15 years. But the recruiting industry really hasn't seen a serious level of disruption, maybe for 30 or 40 years. Mm-hmm. And so when I think about the experiences that you and I are used to on a daily basis, whether that's with Amazon or Netflix or Uber, they are so intuitive. They're so digital. They're so seamless. We bring those same experiences with us into a recruiting process. Right. And almost no organization can really deliver on those. And so what we've said is, you know, we have a unique opportunity to reshape what recruiting needs to look like for a large organization like J&J. Let's bring the human element back into recruiting. Let's make it less transactional. Let's really put the job seeker at the center of this future state of recruiting. And let's bring a more consumer-like experience right to people interested in jobs with J&J. And that's the journey that we've been on for the last probably 18 to 24 months.
Okay. You know, sure. Thanks for that. And a couple of real interesting kind of follow-ups popped into my mind as you were talking. Like, you mentioned disruption, and disruptions occur just in every segment of the economy, every industry, every type of organization, right? And yet many, especially large company kind of recruiting processes haven't changed much at all. In fact, you could argue they've gotten even worse for candidates, right, with the advent of impersonal and kind of really transactional systems, right? Everyone's, you know, got their big ATS system and the processes around it, and we've configured. I remember I tell the story a couple times on the show. Maybe 10 years ago, I was configuring an ATS system for a client, and they wanted to have something like 12 distinct steps, right, in the application flow for the candidate to have to fill out in order to successfully complete their application. I remember thinking, oh my God, just because this technology allows us to do this doesn't mean we should yet, right? And yet we did. And we built these incredibly difficult processes that were built, right, for recruiters maybe or hiring managers, and we didn't care at all about the candidates. One of the things I'd like to mention is maybe we can drill it down just like a step short and talk about bringing that consumer-like experience and trying to meet those expectations that candidates have based on the technologies that they use in their personal lives and their social lives. So let's take that down a step to say, well, what does that mean from a large company kind of recruiting side, right? Because, and then secondly, how can you manage to scale this with 1 million candidates, right? So maybe describe for us a little bit about what specifically you guys have done in the last 18 to 24 months to try to build that kind of consumer-like experience and responsive experience for your candidates.
Yep. No, absolutely. And you know, where it starts is with people, right? It always starts with people for us. And So when I you know, when I first joined, I took a big step back and figured out, okay, if we want to bring a more consumer-like experience to our job seekers, can I do that with seasoned HR and recruiting professionals? Mm-hmm. Or do I need to form a more diverse team around me? And so the decision that we made very, very consciously and thoughtfully was, we absolutely still need this deep subject matter expertise from seasoned recruiting leaders, and I still have many of them on my leadership team, but just having that isn't good enough. Mm-hmm. We also need different expertise and different capabilities on the team who actually have built these consumer experiences at other companies. Right, so we hired very senior digital marketers, UI UX people, experiential designers, entrepreneurs, strategy consultants. And the dynamic now in my leadership team is such that we have, you know, 50% of my leadership team consists of very seasoned recruiting leaders who just know the ins and out of recruiting. I think, you know, we all know the type of people I'm describing.
Sure.
But also, like, people who have never been in recruiting or HR before. And that combination is allowing or enabling us to really bring consumer-like experiences into this space. Now, the second step of that was, if we want to create consumer-like experiences in recruiting, we better know exactly what job seekers are looking for. Mm-hmm. And so what we said is, we have to become obsessed with what the expectations and behaviors are of job seekers all around the world. And so what that meant is that we went on this kind of crazy journey for, you know, a good year to have hundreds of thousands of job seekers respond to surveys and focus groups. We did deep ethnographic research. And what that ended up being is this common fact base. It's an ongoing effort, by the way. So every week we connect with thousands, if not tens of thousands, of job seekers to continuously get their feedback on our process, on our people, on the experience, on our technology stack that they're interacting with. And that is feeding our candidate experience strategy. And so when you start to look at, hey, what are the actual biggest pain points of job seekers? Mm-hmm. Right? There are the application process, the lack of transparency in the recruiting process was the number one single largest frustration from job seekers.
Yep.
And so we determined we want to go after that next.
Sure. Thanks for that. Let me take a quick reset. This is the HR Happy Hour Show. My name is Steve Bose. We are talking with Sjoerd Gehring, the Global Vice President of Talent Acquisition for Johnson & Johnson, talking about how they've reinvented the recruiting process and the candidate experience at J&J across their global footprint, 125-odd thousand employees, 60-odd, maybe more countries than that, I don't know, lots and lots of countries. And sure, you know, some of the things you're talking about, the changing some of the team members, bringing in people with experience on many other domains, consumer domains and user experience domains, not necessarily recruiting, that, like, I've heard other talent acquisition leaders talk about that, but not maybe to the extent you guys did it, right? I've heard of bringing in, you know, a really good marketing person from the marketing team, right, here or there, but I've not heard such a large scale commitment to this kind of reimagining the organization. I wonder if this was something you kind of had to sell to folks at J&J, that this was the right idea to do, or did you guys kind of, were you all bought in, like, we need to really change the way we're just thinking about this process, and as well as the kind of people we need to help lead this change?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a combination of both. Mm-hmm. It was pretty disruptive to bring non-HR leaders into HR. Mm-hmm. But once you ground, you know, our internal stakeholders on the problems that we're trying to solve, it actually became very, very clear that we didn't have another chance, that's something that we absolutely had to do. And so when you started to dissect kind of what we were going after, we were going after things like addressing the total lack of transparency in the recruiting process. And I'm going to talk about that for a minute because it's critical.
I'd love for you to talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a critical part of our journey, Steve. It's, you know, I think we've all been in this situation before, right, where you see this this great job online. You take some time to apply to the job, and then you never hear back. I've been in that position. I know, so many people have been in that position before. And it seems to be such a systemic problem in every organization that you apply to jobs and you either don't hear back at all, or it takes weeks and sometimes even months to get a response. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of take a step back and you think, how is that possible in this day and age where you can track your pizza from Domino's or you can track your Amazon package? How is it possible that organizations don't really provide that level of transparency in their recruiting process? And so we committed ourselves this year to providing that level of transparency to job seekers. And so recently we launched a platform called J&J Shine, which is a platform that provides full transparency to our job seekers in terms of what the end-to-end recruiting process looks like at J&J, how long it typically takes to move from one step in a process to the next. Mm-hmm. They are able to track where they are in the recruiting process in a real-time fashion. It's completely integrated with our applicant tracking system. And we partner together with the Muse on exclusive content that would help a job seeker become a better job seeker. So we're serving up content, both articles and videos, that are relevant for job seekers in whatever part of the process they're in. So if you are being invited to a first interview, we serve up all these pieces of content in terms of how to best prepare for the interview, what to wear, how to follow up with the hiring manager after your discussion, what are some interview tips and tricks. We have content around how to better negotiate a job offer, or how to resign from your current employer once you've accepted a job. And so it shows candidates that we have a little bit of skin in the game when it comes to making them better candidates and providing full transparency to them in terms of where they are at every step of the way.
Yeah, and that's – it's so interesting, Short. Like you say, why can't we do this, right? Why, or why can't more organizations do it? And it seems to me that they probably could, but for many years it seemed like, well, there just wasn't a lot of energy or incentive to do that, particularly maybe if you're thinking back, say, 7 or 8 years ago, 9 years ago, right, when the economic situation, certainly here in the U.S., but in a lot of other places in the world too, was much different, right? And candidates had even less power, than they do today, right? And folks were maybe not hiring as much as well. But now that, I just saw the labor market data came out today, right? The unemployment rate in the United States is at like a 17-year low or something like that.
Yep.
And so things are changing, and not just, from the expectations of technology and our demands of technology and quite frankly, what the technologies can do. But also the economic climate is changing as well, and the competition for the kinds of people that J&J needs and your competitors need and everyone needs really is getting much more acute. So those companies who are not providing these kind of first-class, high-touch, highly personalized experiences, good candidates will just walk away, right? They probably are today. So, maybe is that something you guys experienced as well in terms of before you kind of made some of these changes, implemented some new tools and processes, did you feel like maybe the old systems and the old processes were kind of hindering your ability to compete for the talent you were looking for?
Well, the way we're really looking at it, Steve, is that, we're looking at, we're a Credo-based organization, and our Credo means the world to J&J, and the Credo is basically our almost our contract with the world, our contract with our employees. And what we found is that if we're so focused on our credo, we have to make sure that credo is reflected in our recruiting process. Mm-hmm. And so when you start to think about, treating people with respect, and that has a real component of transparency to it. So it was important for us for our recruiting process to reflect the core values of the organization. In addition to that, what I would say is that, I think increasingly organizations start to realize that, a candidate or a job seeker can be a stakeholder, is probably a consumer of the company at the same time. And so if we're not treating our consumers in this way, why would we treat our job seekers in this way? But, and that, so that was another powerful driver behind us to say, we're very, as every organization is, we're so focused on our patients, we're so focused on our consumers, let's take that same rigor and discipline and service orientation towards our job seekers, because A, you know, they're pretty the same. Mm-hmm. And secondly, it just makes a ton of sense from a core values perspective from our company. And that was really the impetus behind the platform J&J Shine.
Yeah. It makes perfect sense, George, that if you're not kind of, if you're not being true and kind of faithful to what the organization stands for throughout every element of the process, every touch point of the process, people figure that out pretty quickly. And you won't be able to deliver right on the promises you're making to candidates as well as consumers, quite frankly. It's a great point. Hey, Shord, you know, one of the things when we talk with folks, especially people, I know people who listen to this would be interested when they see really innovative, interesting and kind of cool deployments of new technology, of new platforms. They want to know a little bit more about sort of how it works. And I know we don't have to get into the detail of very, very specific things, but lots of folks that I talk to and have talked to and hear from kind of feel limited by the technology that they already have, right? And they maybe they don't have the ability or the budget right now to go and make huge technology investments in order to improve some of these processes. But, you know, when they see something that's really cool, they want to know more about it for sure. And I'd love for you to comment a little bit, if you could, about just what you guys had to do from in terms of a platform technology side to sort of enable this great experience, this much improved transparency, and create kind of a platform that everyone's really, you know, we're talking about right now. Can you maybe share a little bit about the technology journey?
Yeah, I mean, the way we looked at this, Steve, was that, you know, a lot of my predecessors, and I think, you know, a lot of people in roles like mine struggle, quite frankly, with making sense of a very fragmented and very crowded technology ecosystem supporting HR and recruiting. And I think the pressures of our internal stakeholders to show more innovation every year has made people in roles like mine, you know, go after a new shiny object every year that they would add to the technology ecosystem just so they could flag the innovation flag to internal stakeholders. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you do that for a few years, you actually end up with a very fragmented ecosystem supporting your recruiting experience. And it actually, to the point you were making earlier, actually makes for a much worse candidate experience, because often those new tools, they don't play well in the sandbox with each other. Yep. They don't integrate as well as we think. They're not candidate-centric, and they don't actually make up a very good ecosystem. And so before we started to add anything, what we said was, let's hit the pause button. We're not adding anything to our system. You know, you take a little bit of a hit year one on, hey, where's the innovation? You know, an AI bot's coming to the market. Why are we not doing anything with AI?
Right.
Right. Everyone knows those pressures, but you know, you got to stick steady with that. And what we did was, let's go back to our candidates. What are candidates looking for? What is our candidate experience strategy? And then what areas of that strategy, of that candidate experience, are we kind of okay being just okay at? And what are the areas where we absolutely want to put our thumb on the scale and say, that needs to be a uniquely ownable part of J&J? So if a job seeker is in our process, but the application process can be as good as any other organization, but when it comes to transparency, they need to feel that this is J&J.
Gotcha.
And so if you take that approach and then you overlay that to a technology approach, it's actually a very natural way of thinking about buy versus build. Because if I buy everything off the shelf, just like every other organization, my candidate experience isn't going to be all that much different from any of the other organizations I compete with on a daily basis.
Right.
So we have, right, we buy our ATS and so on and so forth. But in the areas where we want to create a uniquely ownable part of the experience, specifically for J&J, where we really stand out, we either partner with an organization to custom build it for J&J.
Okay.
And I have to say that the ecosystem is starting to be very receptive to that, or we build it internally. And that's what we did for J&J. We actually found partners out there in the ecosystem to custom for us in a very short amount of time. It wasn't all that expensive, but it was integrated. It was well thought through, and I think it adds real meaningful value to a lot of job seekers right now.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense, Short. I thought for a long time what you said about, like, if what happens when we adopt the same technologies as our five other biggest competitors have adopted as well, right? Like, you can't really achieve differentiation there. And to your point, not everything needed to be differentiated, right? You made a strategic decision about where you wanted to really own the experience and create, you know, world-class experience and concentrated on those areas, and other areas maybe less so, and could be, I don't know, for lack of a better word, commoditized, right? And not differentiated. That's a great approach.
Thank you.
Hey, Short, one last thing I wanted to ask you before we let you go and let us all get back to our Friday afternoons as we prep for the weekend is have you been able to, I know a lot of this stuff's pretty new, and the Shine platform, I think, is pretty new too. Have you been able to tell yet? And if it's too early, then maybe you can just describe, like, what are the things you're going to look at in terms of, you know, measurement and feedback, and then maybe making some refinements and changes going forward. What are the key things you're going to look at to say, hey, this is working, or maybe it's not working and we need to keep working at it?
Yep. Well, you're right. It is still very early days, but there's kind of two things that I'm looking at on a weekly basis, one of which is our NPS score, so our Net Promoter Score, which we are getting from our candidates every single week. And we've already seen a positive uptake in NPS score since the implementation of Shine. We're obviously keeping a very close eye on that to make sure that's trending upwards in the next few weeks and months as the platform matures and more users are using the platform. But it's a great, great indication. And, you know, as I'm sure, you know, you get as well, Steve, and I'm sure many of your listeners get as well, I get a ton of LinkedIn kind of messages every day from mm-hmm. job seekers who are currently in the J&J process. And, you know, I always look at them as the great kind of pulse check of how these candidates are experiencing our process. And since our implementation of J&J Shine, the feedback has been very different. In the past, I got a lot of feedback around, hey, you know, I applied last week, I haven't heard anything from you, or I can't get in touch with this person, or I haven't heard back from, you know, from a hiring manager. The feedback since the implementation of the platform has been meaningfully different. Mm-hmm. It's been around, wow, transparency, finally. It's been around, hey, I can actually track my application just like I can track my FedEx package. That's what I've been looking for. And so, you know, it's verbatim. It's on LinkedIn. It's not necessarily a representative sample, but, you know, it's a great little pulse check that I always look at and get a sense of, you know, what's actually going on in our process. So great traction so far. We're gonna stay very, very focused on building out the platform more, enhancing it with some new capabilities, and hopefully those numbers continue to go up.
Yeah. I think they will. I mean, from what I've seen, you know, some of the content I've looked at, I played around with the platform a little bit myself. Didn't quite get to apply for a job. I didn't do that, but maybe I will, Short. But really great, just really different kind of experience and a different kind of a feel, and kind of, you know, hopefully for folks who are listening to the show, who are in HR, in talent acquisition, kind of struggling with kind of, I don't know, maybe to generate some ideas and some thoughts about what to look for, what to look at, and how to think about these things, it definitely worth checking out. So, Short, I just want to say thanks again for taking the time to be with us today and talk about what's happening at J&J, talk about the new platform Shine. Careers.jnj.com, right, is where we send people to check this out and learn more. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we let you go?
You know what, I always believe, Steve, that this is an ecosystem play for the entire industry to rally behind. And one of the things that I've been very deliberate about is to share our journey publicly with our industry. And so what I, you know, if people are energized about what we're trying to do with J&J and want to add something or have ideas to contribute, because we really try to make the dialogue as open as possible, I'd welcome, you know, people kind of on my LinkedIn profile, We actively blog on LinkedIn, really try to community kind of inform in terms of what we're working on next. We open it up for suggestions and feedback. And if anyone's interested in joining that discussion, I would I'd love to see them on LinkedIn and contribute to what we're trying to do.
Yeah, awesome. Sure. I'll put the links to that, to your LinkedIn and to what's going the company LinkedIn on the show notes as well as the link back to the career site. And again, Shord Garian, Global Vice President of Talent Acquisition, J&J, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been a pleasure. Thanks again.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
All right, that's it. I want to say thanks to, of course, Virgin Pulse once again, www.virginpulse.com. Subscribe to the HR Happy Hour and all the HR Happy Hour podcast network shows anywhere where you get your podcast. Things are blowing up in the HR Happy Hour land. And thanks for being with us. And take my listener survey if you can. The link will be in the show notes as well. So that's it from the HR Happy Hour show. My name is Steve Bowes. We will see you next time. Bye for now. Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour show, your source for information and conversation on work, the workplace, technology, and more. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.